there's been a report circulating yesterday of a croc sighting in an area where they haven't seen crocs before. Now, of course, we've heard over recent years these damn things are moving up the Mulgrave River. We heard just the other day John Mondora talking about one up, I think, inland, if you like, from the pub down there. And that just astounds people, the fact that they're going so far up the streams down there. I mean, you've got people with their children having picnics by the creek, having swims in that creek, and now, of course, it's been infested by these damn reptiles. And now, a person who's been banging the drum on this for quite some time is Division 1's councillor Brett Moller. He apparently is across this latest sighting where there hasn't previously ever been a reported sighting, apparently. G'day, Brett.
Yeah, good morning, John.
Where did this happen?
John, this happened on Bahana Creek Causeway, right in my backyard. As I said, I've lived there 60 years. I'm down the creek every day. I've never seen one. But last weekend, a person coming in a vehicle at night has filmed a baby croc. It's about 2.5 foot long, clear as day, a very clean-skinned young baby croc on the causeway at Bahana Creek. And as I said, you know, probably my worst nightmare coming true because, you know, born and bred there and enjoy that creek every day, as do many, many people now. It's like Bondi Beach on a weekend at the causeway. Lovely picnic area, sand, shallow water. You know, this is part and parcel of the exploding croc numbers back down on the Mulgrave River, where those bigger crocs are pushing smaller crocs up into freshwater creeks and streams and drains that, you know, traditionally we've never seen them there. And, you know, again, as I've talked to you on this program, my concern is where we get these increasing numbers of crocodiles in stretches of rivers or creeks that interface with the community. Mm. I accept a natural habitat, but, you know, in terms of the croc management and, you know, we've had a win there at the Binda Creek, working with Shane Knuth. We got DES to Department of Environment Science to change the zoning there to a proactive removal zone, 400 metres down from the bridge at the town all the way up to the boulders. But, you know, they can continue to monitor. These numbers will increase and increase. That interface with the community will increase. And as that does, then your risk exposure increases, and that there'll come a point in time, John. And you know, as I've said, I don't want to see an injury or a fatality in a fairly docile natural environment that's been enjoyed by people for many, many years, and it becomes an unacceptable risk. And that's where we are now. The uncertainty: where are these critters? Where are these creatures? And very surprising.
How far upstream from the Mulgrave River was this particular reptile seen?
Oh, it's got to be about 3 km, I suppose. Bahana Creek. They've been, the bigger crocs have been down at the mouth of Bahana for a number of years now. I've seen them down there, 12 footers, on the sandbank in the Mulgrave. The locals down there, the farmers now, are very croc-wise around the banks of that river because, the numbers in that Mulgrave River now and Russell River, John, are just exponential. You can get in a boat, and even particularly at night, and the red eyes and numbers, significant numbers in that river. As John Mondora was talking the other day, they've pushed all the way up now to Pete's Bridge, Ross and Lock, and even Fisher's Crossing up at Goldsborough. And I've heard Colin and others on your show talking about croc sightings way, way upstream. And, you know, that is concerning.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you're saying there will come a point in time. Of course, when you've got people in the wildlife services who have a picture of the critical importance of preserving these animals wherever they may be, I don't know if they're indeed the sort of people that need to be making decisions about human safety here. I mean, what about the sanctity of human life? If we're required to share our space with man-eaters, clearly we've got to have an awareness at the government level in Brisbane that we have human lives at risk. Now, once again, there will come a point in time, I don't know when that is.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, we evolve as a society, and you know, continuous improvement learnings, and it's, you know, it's abhorrent now that you cull for the sake of just killing. You know, that's not acceptable. But these early pioneers came, they settled, usually, of course, around rivers and freshwater creeks, because that's what the community needs. They need a water source. And they went about and made their community safe in respect to any crocodiles and reptiles of danger to the community. They took care of it back in those days, John. I'm talking, obviously, in the 1800s and early 1900s. We've now moved on, and, you know, it is that they're protected species. They have been since the 70s, I think. But they have recovered now,
yes,
in terms of their numbers.
Yep.
And, you know, there was always, the bush talk and bush folklore, you know, Daintree and north of Daintree, that's croc country. But, you know, south of Daintree, where you start getting into the coastal settlements, we want safe communities around our waterways. Mm. But, you know, with the, you know, with the new crop management and with the doing away of culling and the numbers now, they are interfacing more with community. And that's certainly what my concern has been. I've talked to you about, you know, trying to get a direct hotline to DES for farmers, because the farmland is their workplace.
Yes.
And rather than going through the reporting requirements, just give them a direct line that they can say, hey, I've got a crocodile in my drain, I've got a crocodile on my headland, I can't get in there to plough or do my farm work, and, you know, let's get it addressed quickly. That the department hasn't agreed to that at this point. They still want to go through the, you know, the general process. But what I'm finding also as a council, I mean, we're responsible for the management of the Binda boulders. Josephine Falls is a state responsibility, but where these people are being pushed out of their the swimming holes, like,
yes,
Golden Hole,
yep,
the upper reaches. I thought that was a wonderful swimming spot, and we've got a big recreational space there, John, you know, for picnics and people to enjoy. Well, you can't swim there anymore, so people, they're not going there. So they go to the places that they consider safe, and if you go to the Henner Creek Causeway on a weekend, it's like Bondi Beach.
Yeah.
You can have 150, you know, people all congregated in and around that causeway, shallow water, shady trees, little kids. Well, that puts stress and impact on the natural environment there. Puts it, you know, in terms of rubbish bins and rubbish collection, that comes back to council as well. So this is a downstream, but the consequence of the exploding numbers that are now impacting on our freshwater swimming holes. You know, Lake Placid, there's another one. We all grew up with Lake Placid, you know. And you get the do-gooders that, you know, and I don't mean it in terms of, we do respect the crocodile as a creature. My issue is where the interface of crocodiles and community come together, which is a massive risk. And if I make one more comment, John, this is all part of the regional Queensland, regional Australia, disappointment in terms of the legislators, in terms of the population, capital cities, southeast Queensland, which have a lot more votes and a lot more sway in terms of policy. And then, you know, you're sitting in a cafe at New Farm talking about, you know, oh, how wonderful the crocodiles are coming back in tropical North Queensland. I'd love to get up there and see one. Okay, fly in, fly out, enjoy your holiday, but then we're left to live with them in our backyard. But the policymakers and the influence of the policymakers are where those votes are.
Very well said. The point you made too about, yes, we respect the crocodile, etc. People also respect the platypuses. And according to John Mondora, the platypuses are all being eaten out up the Little Mulgrave. I mean, there's got to be some balance there. The other point too, Ross and Locke, is that safe these days? I've heard that's become unsafe.
No. Well, John, yeah, there's some deep water holes there, John, and we've had a croc trap there. We've had DS shoot a crocodile there because he wouldn't go into the croc trap. I've had reports and seen myself 300-400 metres down from Pete's Bridge, a young fellow up there, 16-year-old, loved his fishing, got the fright of his life. He was hanging out off a tree luring, and a big 14-foot croc surfaced below him.
No.
And his mother rang me, and I went out on a Sunday afternoon, and they took me down to the location. And he said, "Oh, there were two crocs, the big 14-footer and an 8-footer." Now, when we got down there on the Sunday afternoon, sure enough, the 8-footer was up on the sandbank. That was the female. Mm. We didn't see the 14-footer, and I didn't really want to see the 14-footer the way he described it. But, you know, again, for me, growing up, you know, we'd be in a canoe, and we'd have the goggles. We used to go downstream from Ross and Lock all the way back down to Greenpatch, you know, without care in the world. But just would not do that now, no.
Exactly. Oh, this has been a worthwhile update. I appreciate this, Brett. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Councillor Brett Moller, he's the Division 1 Cairns councillor with the time. Coming up to 7 to 10.